Hello everyone, welcome back to Chibi and Chill, the anime podcast. And this week is all about Naruto. So we'll get into the bucket list very, very shortly. But this week has been a massive push on trying to finish that original series of Naruto. It's about 220 episodes long. And I am inching my way closer to actually finishing that off and making my way into Shippuden. So finally making a really good chunk of headway now. I'm on episode 197 and very, very close to the end of the original series. But let's dive into the full bucket list update. But this episode is going to be all about the types of power systems in Naruto, specifically the different jutsus that can be used by the characters, how they're used, what makes them different to each other, and kind of get an idea of the kind of, not mystical, but the chakra kind of power system within Naruto. Because I feel that as I make my way through this series, there's so many different power systems that different characters use at different points and for different reasons. They all have different effects, and it starts to get a little bit more complex the further down you kind of go through the series. It's always the kind of the iconic series that have the most complex power systems. Look at One Piece, for example. There's so many different power systems for One Piece, and Naruto is no different. So this episode is going to break down all the different jutsus that I know of so far from the original series. And I think I'll do one about the Sharingans and all the other kind of guns, all the other power systems in another episode. But let's dive into the first kind of bucket list update for this week. And this one is one of the films. And this one is Ghost in the Shell. And Ghost in the Shell is one of those films that is absolutely iconic. Whether you're a big anime fan or maybe you just kind of know of some of the franchises, this is most likely one of the ones that you know about. It is super, super iconic, and it became even more so because of the, I believe it was Naruto, that's because I've been saying it so much. I believe it was the Netflix film adaptation that really, oh no, was it Netflix? I don't know, I'll put it in the thing down here if it was or not. But the Ghost in the Shell live action movie really kind of catapulted this to kind of forefront of people's minds, essentially. It kind of really brought everyone's attention to it again. And this film I really enjoyed, but I don't know if maybe I'm missing something. I kind of wanted, visually, it was amazing, I have to say. It came out in 1995, and it was visually a really awesome looking anime movie. It was so, so impressive to look at. The actual aesthetic of it was awesome. But I kind of wanted more from the actual lore of the story. I wanted more of a background to this story. Rather it be just kind of one note, I kind of want to say. It was kind of left a little bit too open for me. And maybe I'm missing something. I don't know. Maybe I didn't need to do some digging. Let me know if I am missing something. Because as far as I know, there isn't a prequel. And this is like the only one of it, really, essentially. So if I'm missing something, do let me know. But it was okay. I'm glad I've watched it. And then the next film was Ninja Scroll. And this one I've never actually heard of, but I loved this film. It's set in like an old school feudal Japan. And that straight away gives me like some ticks. I love a feudal Japan style like timescape for an anime. And this one was super, super cool. If you are going to check this one out, please just do be aware that it's slightly more mature. There are some kind of naughty scenes in there, if you get what I'm saying. There are some more kind of mature scenes in that film. So do be aware of that. But honestly, this was such a good film. I loved this one. It was super, super interesting. And I felt visually, again, this was a really cool anime to kind of look at. English voice acting felt a little bit stiff, I'm not going to lie, from the main characters. I did watch this in English. It felt a little bit stiff. But I enjoyed the story and I enjoyed the film overall. So this one, yeah, an absolute win. I am so glad, actually. I never heard of this film. So again, the bucket list gets an absolute like bonus points for showing me a film that I would have never actually come across anyway. And then I can't remember when I did the last update, whether I actually finished Cowboy Bebop this week or last week. I can't remember, but I feel like I watched it, finished it at the weekend. But if not, I finished Cowboy Bebop, the series. And again, I love that series. That was a really, really good series. And I think my favorite character was Faye Valentine from all of that. I loved her kind of backstory of being like, spoiler alert, of being like frozen and being brought back, brought so forward into the future from the 21st century. That was super, super interesting. And I loved seeing the little pockets of her past kind of being shown to us and how her kind of personality is trying to come through in these different areas. Really, really interesting. Love that. I need to watch the film now. I can't find that anywhere, if I'm honest. So I need to try and find that somewhere online to try and finish that. What a great series. I did really enjoy Cowboy Bebop. So I'm excited for the movie. And then the actual theme of this week's episode is Naruto. So right now, at the time of recording this episode, I am on episode 197 out of 220. And today it came to my attention that I think I've been putting out of 200 on my bucket list updates, like on the text on the screen, on the graphics. It's actually 220. So I've actually gained 6 hours of watch time, just over 6 hours of watch time for Naruto. So not loads, not too much, but more than what I had originally planned in my mind. So, but that's okay. I am always here. If I'm enjoying a series, I'm always more than happy to kind of have it extended. That is absolutely fine. Three things finished and fourth very nearly finished for the bucket list. So perfect. That is the kind of week that we need for the bucket list, if we're honest. But without further ado, let's carry on the Naruto kind of vibe, the Naruto theme, and let's dive in to the first power system for Naruto, the kind of jutsu system. Hello everyone, I just thought I'd pop in here real quick just to tell you all about Crunchyroll. And Crunchyroll is my favourite platform to stream all the anime that I watch, including Naruto, One Piece, Attack on Titan, Black Clover, and a whole host more, all of which I'm probably talking about in this episode. Down in the show notes and in the description, you'll find a link to start a free trial where you'll be able to browse a whole host of thousands of anime to discover and love. So Naruto, as I've already mentioned, has its own kind of power system, and there are three main kind of jutsus. There are three main jutsu types, so ninjutsu, genjutsu, and taijutsu, and we see these interchangeably used by different characters at different times for different reasons with different effects within the first series and in the Shippuden as well. I'm not going to speak much about Shippuden because I'm yet to actually dive into it, so yeah, I'm not going to spoil it for myself just to do a video. So the first one is ninjutsu, and ninjutsu is one of the three main jutsus, as we've said, and ninjutsu is the kind of most obscure of the three. It's basically any attack or any kind of jutsu that's not categorized by taijutsu or genjutsu, so it's anything that fits in between that kind of void that's not one of those two. And this one is, it has a huge range of ninjutsu uses, and it's kind of shown by several subclasses of ninjutsu. So there's medical ninjutsu, reincarnation ninjutsu, space-time ninjutsu. That just sounds ridiculously complex and powerful. Barrier ninjutsu, sealing jutsu, cursed seal jutsu, and sensory ninjutsu as well. So there are, you can tell by that list alone, it starts to get very complicated very quick for one category of this power system. But most ninjutsu use shape transformation, which deals with controlling the form and movement of ninjutsu, while nature transformation deals with changing the ninjutsu's physical properties. So the Rasengan that we see Naruto use a lot is one of the examples of ninjutsu, and it's one of the ones, this is what I kind of meant, where it's one of the most commonly seen ones within the first season at least, and it's one of the kind of more key examples of ninjutsu. But ninjutsu is humans' corrupted use of the Sage of Six Paths. I always feel like I should say Sage of Six Paths, but I'm always super unsure. Do let me know. But it's originally created by his son Indra rather than use chakra to achieve understanding and create peace. As a sage, Sage intended humans weaponize their chakra for war. So over time, Shinobi came to believe that Hagamaru was the inventor of the ninjutsu rather than his eldest son. So that's like a little bit of a background of the ninjutsu. It's kind of a short one, but I think it's interesting to kind of see these little tidbits of how these power systems came to be in the Naruto world. The second jutsu is genjutsu. So genjutsu literally means illusionary techniques and is one of the main jutsu categories which uses chakra. So unlike ninjutsu, the effects of genjutsu are not real. They're not actually taking place, but they're only sensory illusions experienced by those who are kind of on the receiving end of the attack. So according to the second Mizukage, genjutsu falls under the broad category of yin release. So on the Narutopedia, so an overview, a genjutsu is created when a ninja controls the chakra flow of a target's cerebral nervous system. Starts to get a little bit kind of medical at this point. So thereby affecting their five senses, which creates this kind of all-round, really real feeling illusion. This is frequently used to create false images and or trick the body into believing it has experienced physical sensations such as pain and kind of the like as if you're melting or you're falling, that kind of thing. But it's further explained in the anime that because genjutsu affects the activity throughout the structure of the brain, humans, dogs, and other species of mammal are therefore affected by genjutsu. It does specifically say mammals, so I'm unsure, is it only mammals or does it kind of go further? Maybe, who knows? But then it does also kind of follow up with insects lack such a structure to their brains, so don't even notice it. So when you think of like Shino and his kind of techniques and abilities with the insects, they won't be affected by it. So that's kind of interesting and kind of gives an insight into his kind of power system as well, specifically Shino's. But genjutsu can also be used to manipulate others. So similar to brainwashing, by feeding the victims suggestions and kind of, so that kind of feeds into the illusionary kind of vibe to it. So you can kind of give them suggestions by this. But methods such as include interrogation and in the anime, ingesting special pills that activate when the target sleeps, which is really interesting. Audible genjutsu is deemed to be the most dangerous because the user can trap victims from long distances. We saw quite early on in the original Naruto series the kind of sound attacks, and that was really, really interesting because you can't actually see it. It just kind of happens. So that I think is probably the most difficult to kind of work with if you're in the Naruto world. It does kind of carry on to say that despite its usefulness, genjutsu is actually rarely used, most shinobi preferring the real tangible kind of real life effects of ninjutsu or taijutsu over the imagined effects of genjutsu, which hold little influence over the actual physical world, which kind of makes sense. As much as everything's kind of going on in the target's head, nothing much is happening outside of the actual real world. So I guess it's kind of, for anything else, surely that feels a little bit awkward for the attacker to kind of just, oh mind you, I guess you're busy doing the attack, but surely it feels a little bit awkward either way to kind of just watch and kind of wait. Surely it feels a little bit weird, but that kind of makes sense. They kind of prefer a more physical attack rather than a kind of mental one. So the last one on this list is taijutsu, and taijutsu literally means body techniques and is a basic form of techniques and refers to any technique involving the martial arts or the kind of use of human abilities such as like kicking, boxing, that kind of thing, martial arts. It's anything that kind of fits within that more bodily focused power attack. So taijutsu is executed by directly accessing the user's physical and mental energies, relying on stamina and strength gained through training. So this is things like Rock Lee, Bushibrow, and Guy that focus more on their taijutsu and physical training of the body and the mind, enable to physically get stronger rather than use chakra to kind of do the attack specifically. So although it doesn't actually technically use chakra or require chakra at all, there are instances where you can use chakra to enhance the taijutsu techniques, and taijutsu generally requires no hand seals to perform, which we see quite a lot, and occasionally making use of certain stances or poses are far quicker to use than any kind of other form of jutsu such as genjutsu or ninjutsu. So it is slightly quicker because you can kind of just go straight at it with your body rather than having to build up a chakra, build up your source of chakra, build up your chakra energy, I guess, and kind of just go full at it with your own muscles and your own kind of mind. So this is the fighting style that we kind of rarely see as a character's main kind of fighting style. It's really only Rock Lee and Mike Guy do actually see as their main fighting style. A lot of them use a lot more of, not so much the illusionary one, they use a lot more of the genjutsu and the ninjutsu, the kind of anything that falls into the other one. And we see that a lot more. We see a lot more kind of chakra focus, especially a lot of the ones, when we think about the different lands in Naruto, there was the land of the foot hidden, no, what was it? The village hidden in the stars. That one used a lot more chakra kind of attacks, and they looked absolutely awesome. They kind of shaped their chakra into these kind of flying attacks, and that honestly, it was such a little side quest, but it was honestly, that was a really cool one. I really enjoyed that one purely because of their kind of fighting style with the how they controlled their chakra from this kind of star. It was so cool, but honestly, that was really, really awesome. But Taijutsu is kind of just hand-to-hand combat, so it's interesting that in this world of Shinobi and Naruto, alongside all these people and Shinobi that are trying to use as much kind of chakra energy and power as possible, there are people like Guy and Rock Lee, Bushibrow, that prefer or kind of have honed their bodies to a point where they can just go hand-to-hand combat and be stronger than most people that are using the other kind of chakra-based techniques. I think as I kind of get more and more into the Shippuden level of Naruto, the kind of further on story side, I think I'll start to get even introduced into even more of the power system. I do want to do an episode on different Sharingans, but right now, at episode 197, at recording this, there'd only be like two, so there's no point in doing that episode. And I don't want to, yes, I could just Google them and do a list on them, but I want to enjoy it as well. I don't want to just do the videos for the sake of doing the videos. That's why I've just done the jutsus for today. I really kind of want to give you guys an episode that's really real, and if it takes weeks and weeks and weeks, and then I'll finish Shippuden, hopefully before the end of the year to finish that poster off, then I'll do an episode then on the different Sharingans, because I really want to kind of enjoy that anime primarily, and then do the episodes for them, because there's so much other things I can do episodes on in the meantime. So this has been the kind of overview of the jutsus of Naruto, and I think as we kind of go through, we'll do like the beasts, we'll do the different characters, we'll do the Sharingans, we'll do all that kind of stuff. There's so much I want to kind of dive into this. I've absolutely loved diving into Naruto again, so I've got so many ideas for content for this, so do subscribe if you haven't already. Please do leave a like and review. If you enjoyed this kind of episode where we kind of dive into some of the areas of iconic series or even non-iconic series, and we kind of dive into these areas of their world and power systems, that kind of thing, do let me know in your review. Send me a message on Instagram, TikTok, all that good stuff, Threads. Find me on there. Do leave me a message. I will respond, I promise. But do leave a review and subscribe to the YouTube channel, or follow wherever you're listening to this podcast episode on, if you're listening to the audio only episodes. Thank you so much for joining me on today's episode. It's felt a little bit manic. It's felt a little bit messy this episode, so apologies for that. But let's see how the editing goes. Let's see how it gets edited. Maybe it turns out a little bit less messy. But I can't promise anything. Apologies if this is a messy episode. Thank you for joining me on today's episode of Chibi and Chill, the anime podcast. I'll see you next Friday. Enjoy all the anime you're watching this week, and have an awesome week. Thank you, guys. Bye-bye.